Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. So happy to be with you on this Friday afternoon here where we are. Maybe it's Friday evening where you are. Maybe it's Saturday morning if you're on the other side of the dateline. Whatever day or time it is, we're just happy you're here with us, and we've got a great Friday show for you. Second hour, Jimmy will be here, and we're going to do a bonus open forum. So you can ask anything you want in the second hour. And, you know, it's Jimmy Akin, so you better dial early once we get done with this hour, because it's going to be full. This hour, our good friend Scott Wieman is here, and we're going to talk about Catholic in recovery. We'll talk about if you have this issue in your family, if you're personally facing this issue, if you'd like some help on what the Catholic Church teaches or what help is available, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Scott is a recovering addict himself. He's the founder of the nonprofit organization Catholic in Recovery, which brings hope to those who struggle for finding freedom from the bondage of their addictions. He's also the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery. Scott Wieman, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you, Si.
You looked so much more fatherly than you usually look. Today you're looking more fatherly.
Yes, yes. The common theme when I come on here, I'm either announcing a baby, that we're going to have a baby, or announcing that we had a baby. And holding true to that, we had a baby. My wife gave birth to our son Walter last Wednesday.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Little Walter. And how's he doing, and how's Mom doing?
He's doing well. Mom is doing well.
Well, God is good, huh?
Yeah.
God is very, very good.
Absolutely. You know, it was 10 years ago, almost to the day, that I was at my absolute rock bottom.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. And, you know, without any hope, without the prospect of any, you know, a family, a wife, none of this. And I had very little hope, didn't have any relationship with the Catholic Church. Had a relationship with a woman who I wanted to really win back, so I thought that getting into the Catholic Church might help those efforts. Didn't prove to be true. But what I found was freedom and salvation. But, you know, anyone who's there, who's at that point today, who's listening, who's just, you know, questioning, is there hope for me? What can be done about this nagging, or probably more than nagging, addiction, compulsion, unhealthy attachment?
Right.
We'd love to talk to you today.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. It seems to me that we Christians have I don't know if it's an extra added thing when a family member has an addiction. I'm not sure how, but we have this thing about, you know, going to the cross with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And I sometimes feel like that can lead us to make the wrong choices when facing addiction in the family, because instead of confronting and challenging and allowing people to live with the consequences, we're thinking we have to bear all that cross ourselves. Do you find that?
Yeah, yes. And so, you know, we speak of addiction as a disease, spiritual disease.
Right.
And that does not just contain itself to the individual. It is certainly a family disease, which impacts all family members, whether it's someone being removed from the family, just absent as a result of their inability to be around, or, you know, physically, mentally, emotionally present. And in addition, we see families do all sorts of weird things, thinking that we can, you know, with well intention, wanting to solve things. But yeah, addiction has such a great hold. And too oftentimes, if we just resort to, you know, maybe you should just say a few more prayers at night and that's going to help.
Right.
I think that can sometimes over-spiritualize in some ways. Not to take away from the saving power and the grace that Jesus Christ can bring, but while God moves mountains, he asks us to pick up the shovel. And oftentimes that means, you know, getting honest with ourselves and with others in order to find, you know, kind of breakthrough into a solution. Denial is a thick current that runs through, you know, all areas of our lives. But when it comes to addiction, there's a great grip and hold on us. And, and one thing, you know, I was thinking about this too is, man, there's such a... I'm so grateful that I've been distant from my last drink. I know that I've got to do things every day to maintain that freedom.
Yes.
But, you know, when one is bonded to a drink or a drug or a compulsive eating or pornography, it's, you know, it's that moment where it touches your lips, if you will, that has such power.
Right.
That has such power.
Yeah.
And so we need to be able to have something that can be as powerful as that it hits my lips and all of a sudden everything's okay.
Yeah.
You know, alcoholism and other addictions, cunning, baffling, and powerful. And so we need to have a full-spirited solution that includes community, that includes honesty, accountability, that includes the sacraments, that includes wisdom from saints.
Yeah.
And we can integrate our Catholic faith with the spirituality of 12-step recovery to find all that.
888-318-7884, our number. Scott Wieman, our guest. We're talking about addiction and recovery today on Catholic Answers Live. 888 888- 318-7884. It's important that the title of your book is The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, not or the Sacraments. Mm. So what is Catholic in Recovery? What does that provide in addition to the 12 Steps?
Yeah. Thanks for asking. We don't claim to be an alternative to 12-step recovery.
Right.
And when I say 12-step recovery, I'm referring to anonymous groups, Alcoholics Anonymous, Narcotics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Overeaters Anonymous. There is a 12-step group for nearly every kind of behavior, you know, the problem behavior, if you will, Clutterers Anonymous, et cetera, which provide a great place for people to find a spiritual solution to a spiritual problem.
Right.
And in many cases, you know, and actually, if we look back at the origins of 12-step recovery in the 1930s and 1940s, there was great Catholic influence. Father Ed Dowling, a Jesuit priest from St. Louis, visited Bill Wilson, one of the founders of Alcoholics Anonymous, knocked on his door, said, you know, these 12 steps that you have are very similar to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. That began a friendship, which really, you know, in many ways, Father Ed Dowling was kind of the sponsor to Bill Wilson, founder of Alcoholics Anonymous, and provided great spiritual guidance, you know, along the way as Alcoholics Anonymous was growing. Bill was concerned about its growth, and it was having a hard time taking off and still wanted to maintain some really important spiritual principles. So there was great Catholic influence in the development of 12-step recovery. Since that time, that has, you know, as our culture has become much more secularized,
right,
and, you know, God has become diffused from a lot of really important discussions, that hasn't, you know, Alcoholics Anonymous and other 12-step groups aren't immune from that. And so there has been this kind of vague spirituality, which, don't get me wrong, Alcoholics Anonymous, I would argue, is the greatest social construct of the 20th century.
Really?
I would argue that, yeah.
How interesting. Yeah, because it has pervaded the culture in a way with an option for healing that just wasn't there before that.
Absolutely, yeah. And I mean, yeah, people who, we used to think of alcoholism as a chronic disease, a chronic condition. We just, you know, people would just put them in hospitals. And now we don't. Now we have hope. We have this platform where people can share experience, strength, and hope with each other. Much like we did in the early church, by the way, and just sharing the good news. You know, we didn't have to get too into doctrine and all that kind of stuff. But when I can share what my life was like before recovery, before finding Jesus, share what happened in that moment of coming to, you know, so this really challenging, honest conclusion that I needed help, and sharing that with others, and what my life is like since then, I don't really need to get into too much, you know, extra stuff. God is shaping my life and has saved my life, and I'm grateful to tell about it.
888-318-7884. Folks starting to call, you are welcome. There are lines open, however, and you are welcome to call. If this is something you're facing personally, you are welcome to call for Scott's help. Maybe it's something that's in the family. Maybe it's something that you'd like to know about. Is this something we could do at our parish, you know, Catholic in Recovery? You're welcome to call with any question you got for Scott Wieman. 888-318-7884. When we come back, Scott, I'm going to talk to you about an exciting possibility for Catholic in Recovery that I think people will want to hear about. And then we'll do as many calls as we can.
Sounds great.
888-31 Truth, right back with more with Scott Wieman on addiction and recovery on Catholic Answers Live.
Catch Catholic Answers Live anytime at Catholic.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
Are you a coffee drinker? If so, you can now enjoy a coffee roasted to perfection by the Carmelite Monks of Wyoming. Delicious Mystic Monk coffee is roasted and prepared by monks in a hidden cloistered monastery and is available in over 25 varieties. All Mystic Monk coffees are works of perfection and labors of love. For more information on how to purchase Mystic Monk coffee, visit mysticmonkcoffee.com. That's mysticmonkcoffee.com.
Check out EW10's official YouTube channel.
Just follow the link on our homepage at EWTN.com or go to YouTube.com/EWTN.
Watch EWTN's live shows or today's homily from the Daily Mass.
Click the upload button to see our most recent clips.
You can also find all of EWTN YouTube content by clicking the playlist button.
It's all on the official EWTN YouTube channel at YouTube.com/EWTN.
Visit today.
We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. And as I said earlier, a great Friday for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here. We're going to do open forum. This first hour, something that we've tried to make more regular on the show, visits from our friend Scott Wieman, who wrote the book, The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, A Catholic Journey Through Recovery, and is the founder of Catholic and Recovery. And one of the things I imagine you have found, because I see this, people want to help you with this ministry, that this apostolate you've created. It does seem like a lot of people have almost come out of the woodwork to help you.
Yeah, we're striking a chord with people who have either been in recovery for some time, active in the church, want to integrate these two life-saving components of their life.
Yeah.
Others who, in the church, maybe feel a little bit alienated by what 12-step recovery is and, you know, some of this, the lack of spiritual nature. And others who have been in recovery seeking the church, maybe having some questions, but eager to kind of walk in with an understanding, you know, being able to speak the recovery language, if you will, and kind of translate the sacraments through the our understanding of the 12 steps.
Wow. So now this exciting thing is that I have this press release from the OSV Institute, our Sunday Visitor Institute for Catholic Innovation. They do this thing called the OSV Challenge Showcase. You're part of it, and there's potential for some real financial help for your ministry. Tell me about it.
Yeah, so we, I think it was January or February, we applied for the OSV Challenge. This is the second year that they did it. Last year they did it, same thing. Gave away three $100,000 prizes to ideas, Catholic organizations who are trying to spark innovation within the church. And so I applied. We were accepted as one of the kind of the second round, 200 organizations or so in that round, putting together a business model canvas and a little short video. But then we were selected to be a semifinalist, one of 24 semifinalists, which as semifinalists, we walked through a six-week accelerator, business accelerator. The OSV Institute teamed with the University of St. Thomas in Houston to provide awesome content, awesome, you know, voices within the Catholic Church, people with business acumen and understanding of how to really take our ideas to the next level. We, you know, the fruit of that was a business plan and a pitch. We delivered those pitches. Actually, I gave the pitch.
What's like Shark Tank for Catholic ministries?
A little bit.
Okay, that's cool.
We've gotten so much out of it. It's been an awesome project. So the semifinals pitch that I did was actually done 10 hours after Walter was born. On that same Wednesday.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Yeah, knowing that the timing was going to be pretty close, hard to, you know, plan for that. But, you know, mama and baby were resting, so I got off and did the pitch. So we were selected as one of 12 finalists now. And I want to strongly recommend anyone that's got an idea, an innovative idea within the church, even if it's just, you know, held within a napkin at this point.
Right.
Try, you know, next year, reach out. Submit your idea in the OSV Challenge. There can be really awesome ways for, you know, there's a lot of people within the church that want to see a need, see how the church can respond and want to, you know, initiate that action. I strongly recommend checking it out. So this will all culminate on Saturday, September 18th. There is a OSV Innovation Showcase that's done virtually. You can find all this information on osvchallenge.com. And on the 18th, the 12 finalists will pitch. It'll be like a Shark Tank, kind of.
What?
So you'll see all 12 pitches from the 12 finalists, various ideas. There's a great group that's supporting adult children of alcohol or adult children of divorce. Another group that's doing life cycle or period cycle prep. A Catholic doctor. All sorts of really awesome, innovative ideas within the church. They'll be presenting. Three winners will be chosen that day. There'll be a little Q&A from a panel of five judges. And other great things. I strongly recommend checking it out. There's some really awesome things happening. OSV Institute is leading innovative charge.
Yeah, and even if you're not selected, just getting 6 weeks of a business accelerator to help you to develop your plan and for your ministry, that's great.
Yes. So whether or not we take home one of the $100,000 prizes or not, we're already a winner.
Yeah.
We would really love the $100,000. We can do great things with it. We've got awesome plans. Next year we're going to be developing a mobile app and a digital platform that will accompany our Catholic and Recovery workbook. But it's been a really great opportunity.
Catholic and Recovery, you have a website, Catholic and Recovery, if people want to know about it?
Absolutely, CatholicandRecovery.com.
Oh, how clever, CatholicandRecovery.com. All right, the number here is 888-318-7884. We're talking about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective with Scott Wieman, our guest, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments. Let's see where we're going first. Are you ready to do calls, I assume?
Let's do it.
All right, let's talk to some folks. Let's go to Adam in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Adam, we're very glad to have you. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hey, thanks for taking my question. So my question is in recovery. You were talking about the sacraments, and I had my specific question is about the sacrament of confession. So they were talking yesterday that an unconfessed mortal sin can leave you out of salvation. And my question is as a drinker, what is you don't remember committing a mortal sin? How do you confess that?
That's a great question. Well, Adam, I assume that you found some recovery from addiction, alcoholism yourself. Congratulations.
I
think, man, that's a great question. Perhaps the theology of it is maybe above my pay grade, but I can speak of my experience, which, you know, and we really, the way that we look through this at the Sacrament of Reconciliation, we can also overlap with the steps 4 through 9 in the 12 steps. Now, listeners who are unfamiliar with the 12 steps may have no clue what that means, but what it really is a thorough moral inventory of ourselves. And that moral inventory is kind of rooted in our resentments and our fears and some misconduct sexually and financially and other things like that. And we then share that with God, ourselves, and another human being, very much like the Sacrament of Confession. In fact, in original, the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, they actually speak of seeking out your pastor or your religious leader in order to kind of do that step. Steps 6 and 7, we ask God to remove whatever defects of character stand in the way of us serving him and others. And then steps 8 and 9, we make a list of those who we've harmed. And in step 9, become willing to make amends to them all and go about doing that in a very intentional way. Now, this, you know, if we do a very thorough fourth step, I would say, and then confess that or share that in the Sacrament of Confession, I don't think that God is looking for us to, you know, kind of fill in all the blanks perfectly, and then he's going to go through and make sure that they all, you know, all the dots are crossed and all the blanks are filled in correctly. But if we can really get to the what is at the root of our sinful nature, I think that that is in God's eyes, and I can't speak for God or, you know, and that, but I believe that that's getting at the heart of, you know, what's at the root of our sinful nature, which is likely bondage of self and bondage, you know, playing God. And if we can recognize that we're not God, that's a good starting point.
Adam, since I was here and heard the answer, I know that the intention is everything. So that is, if you go to confession intending to lie, that would be a grave problem. But if you go to confession intending to confess all of your grave sins, but you forget, that it means nothing, actually. You're absolved of your sins. The fact that you forgot one, or maybe even forgot many, that's, you're innocent of that. Is that helpful to you, Adam?
It is. It really is. It's something, yeah, I don't, like I said, you guys were talking about it yesterday with Jimmy Akin, and when I heard it, I thought, well, how do you know? How does a person know
that's
that?
Exactly, but yeah, right.
That's,
yeah.
Yeah. Right, but okay, but no, you answered my question very well. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah.
I might also add, too, is that, you know, in the process of addiction recovery, when done well, we have a sponsor who's walking with us, who we would also likely kind of do that fifth step with, share, yeah, you know, some of those things with. This is a very intimate part of the 12 steps. That sponsor will likely also share some of his stuff or her stuff, something that would not be reciprocated in the confessional, of course. But that might also be able to provide maybe a lens through which, you know, we might not see something, or we might get another set of eyes.
It's right.
I don't know that we often consult with another person before we go into confession saying, here's what I'm going to confess. What do you think? Would you, you know, review this for me? But maybe not a bad idea, maybe not a bad practice, I think, if there's certainly...
Sure, to help you do an examination of yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Adam, thanks. All right. Let's go to Emma in Hayden, Idaho, listening on EWTN. Once again, if you're just joining us, we're talking with Scott Wieman, the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments and the founder of Catholic in Recovery, a growing apostolate, ministry of the Catholic Church to help those who are in recovery. And if you have a question about addiction and recovery, 888-318-7884. Emma, I'm sorry I made you wait there for a second. Go ahead, Emma, with your question for Scott.
Well, my question is more of a comment. There's so much wisdom in the room today. I've been sober for 9 years this October.
Congratulations.
And I'm proud to be an alcoholic. Thank you. I'm proud to be an alcoholic. Most people who don't understand that, who aren't, you know, addicted to something. But I love the euphemisms in AA. Like, I was complaining to my sponsor, you would drink too if this happened to you. And I was naming off everything.
Uh-huh.
And she said, Emma, get off the cross. We need the wood. And that was my aha moment.
That is wonderful. That is a powerful thing about the 12-step program is the euphemisms, isn't it?
Yeah, awesome. Congratulations, Emma, and thank you for sharing that. You're right. There's this brutal honesty kind of nature to recovery, and what you'll hear shared in the recovery meeting, that man is just it's truth, and it's oftentimes not sugarcoated in some ways.
Yeah.
As you might hear.
Right.
I remember there is such Emma makes a great point. There is such great wisdom, oftentimes put in some simplistic terms.
Yeah.
And you know, the man who saved my life was kind of this blend between Yoda and John the Baptist. I had been to a few AA meetings before with some half-hearted effort, I guess. But this time that I was ready to make it happen, I don't know what he saw in me, but I think just the fact that I shared that I was brand new, darted across the room, looked me in the eye and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. And he also kind of around the time said, you and I are going on a journey together and neither one of us is coming back. And, he would all say things like that. He'd say, he'd hold the Bible in one hand and the big AA big book in the other hand. And he'd say, this book is for people who don't want to go to hell. This book is for people who have been there and have no intention of ever going back.
Yeah. Yeah. And that stuff is really, really helpful that it's like decades and decades now of insight that's built up within the 12-step program.
Yeah. And things like, I showed up and I would see on the walls kind of some different like crocheted framed phrases that say like, live and let live, or let go and let God.
Yeah.
Those things would annoy me so much. Live and let live, that's what you've got. And, I came to realize that those phrases, those slogans in recovery, man, are so, so just powerful and wise and are lasting. The idea that this too shall pass is a very good one to refer back to. Not only when things are bad, when things are challenging, but also when all is seemingly going well.
Yeah.
This too shall pass.
Right, right. Because that can be a trap, can it? Like, I'm over it now. Mm-hmm. I'm past all the crisis, and now I'm good. That's mm-hmm. dangerous. Mm-hmm. For anyone wanting to make spiritual progress in anything, that sense of, I've made it now, mm-hmm. very dangerous.
Yeah.
888-318-7884, our number, 888-31-TRUTH. We're talking with Scott Wieman. He's the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments and the founder of Catholic in Recovery and the father of an increasing number of children. We go now to Michael in Mobile, Alabama, listening on 94.5 FM. Michael, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Yes. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for the show and for the topic.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I'm a big fan of Scott's and recently bought the book. I'm about halfway through it, and I'm about 5 months into my recovery and through AA and some other offshoots of that. And I wanted to, it's been on my list to try and call into some shows because I have a thought on this. Which is, I would love for Catholic churches to embrace both mainstream recovery and Scott's program more and more. I think that would be a really great direction and a great service for people and something to be aware of. And I hope it grows.
Scott, let's get a comment from, Michael will get a comment from Scott and then we'll come back to you because I really appreciate you saying that.
Yeah, I do too, Michael. And know that your check is in the mail. Really appreciate it.
Scott, he works for you?
Yeah, just kidding. Right. Thanks, Michael. 5 months, man, that is awesome. You know how much happens in 5 months?
Yeah.
That's a lot of one days at a time. So congratulations, Michael. We're moving forward. We're hopefully just one day at a time changing, making some cultural changes within our communities, within our world, within our families, and within the church as well. It's not something that happens immediately. I think that the idea of, just beginning to kind of press into addiction is not an easy battle, let's put it that way.
Right.
And oftentimes, much like myself, it was, a lot of really concerned family members and friends when I was in the midst of my addiction and my alcoholism who wanted to help, really, really wanted to help. But it wasn't until a man looked me in the eyes and said, I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
you don't ever have to drink again, that's when, you know, that kind of like cut through all of my denial and really made it possible. Like change, there was just this glimmer of hope there.
Wow.
As he would say, the man who helped save my life, he said, all we need to do is just crack the door open and God will blow it off if it's hinges.
Yeah.
And so in many ways, we just need to show up. Now, as far as, you know, the church embracing recovery and embracing Catholic in recovery, happening slowly, and you know, but actually we see this as a really great opportunity for people to be welcomed into the church. It's said that for every one person that enters the church, six leave. They're oftentimes being served by other communities where their addiction needs are being met. So I think that the Catholic Church can really do a great job of calling back to the sacraments and healing people with addictions.
Thanks, Michael. Now the music's playing. Hang on, I want to continue the conversation with you. If you can, Michael, hang on. We'll be right back with more with Scott Wieman, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. You can give him a call, 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers is doing it again. We're holding our 7th annual Apologetics Conference this September in beautiful San Diego, California, and we'd like to see you there. Join us September 23rd to 26th for a lively and inspiring conference with an all-star lineup of speakers guaranteed to jumpstart your faith. It's a great chance to meet all your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and very special guests as we spend 4 days talking about worshiping and adoring our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is where it all begins. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us this September for a conference that is sure to ignite, inspire, and inform your faith. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register.
Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Back to Catholic Answers Live. Lots of folks on the line, so we will be getting right back to the phones. Our guest is Scott Wieman. He wrote the book The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, and he's the founder of a Catholic apostolate called Catholic in Recovery, which you can find at CatholicInRecovery.com. And on the line is Michael in Mobile, Alabama, who was telling us about his 5 months of sobriety and his discovery of Catholic in Recovery. And you were kind of encouraging more Catholic parishes to take this on. Michael, and I said I'd come back to you, so I'm keeping my promise. Did you want to share anything else with us or have any more you wanted to say?
Yes, I do. Just real quick, through my studies of all of this, I found that AA and Catholicism are a great parallel path. And what Scott has done is he has sort of bridged the two and synthesize them together, which makes a lot of sense because AA comes from Christian philosophy, but especially Catholic. And I think that could be expounded upon even further by doing things like pairing great mystical literature with the individual steps and so forth.
Wow.
Because these spiritual principles from AA have already existed in Catholicism.
Well, Michael, we're going to steal that idea now, Michael. You won't be getting any credit, all right? When Scott and I put
Please.
The book out, all right? Okay, good. As long as you don't demand a royalty, that's a brilliant idea.
Yeah, I mean, if you read writers like St. Francis de Sales' Introduction to the Devout Life.
Oh, goodness, yes.
I mean, he's a beautiful, an amazing writer, but he speaks about principles like, you know, he speaks about finding a spiritual director and speaks about, you know, what we might call in recovery a sponsor. And the gaze upon which we might look at that person and the trust which we might put into that person rings true for my experience and my relationship with the people who have helped save my life and have walked with me and really mentored me in ways by simply sharing experience, strength, and hope. Sometimes coming in with some wisdom, some Yoda-like wisdom.
Yeah.
But yeah, absolutely. And many other writers similarly will find a lot of these themes, you know, centuries, you know, previous to the beginning of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think a lot of, you know, what 12-step recovery fellowships have done is really create community around that.
Yeah.
And that's a really important and key part about recovery. And that's something that, you know, there are many Catholic efforts that have, and local efforts most of the time, which are, you know, sometimes spearheaded by a Catholic charities organization and, you know, providing counseling, addiction counseling and such, which is a great effort and a really important, valuable resource. And pairing that with a community, a worldwide, a lifelong community where individuals are giving and receiving life-saving support is essential. And that's why, you know, throughout, even though Alcoholics Anonymous, other 12-step organizations have become somewhat more secularized, they're still saving millions and millions of lives.
Sure. Yeah.
And so I would, you know, I'd also tack on to Michael, what Michael's mentioning about just getting involved or checking out Catholic in Recovery resources. We do, and over the last year and a half, we've added a number of virtual meetings. And so this has been a place where we've been able to reach those where if they don't have a Catholic in Recovery fellowship in your local community or in your parish or in your diocese, you can attend one of our many virtual meetings. And we have general meetings for individuals with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. We have family-related meetings, those impacted by a loved one's addiction. We have a group specific to those who are impacted by a loved one's lust addiction and know the betrayal trauma that's involved with that.
Yeah.
On Friday nights tonight, a meeting for adult children of alcoholics in dysfunctional homes, where that oftentimes leads itself to patterns later in life, which are just keep people stuck, you know, and relate makes challenging relationships. Other meetings for, you know, specifically for disordered eating on Sunday nights and others. So we have some general recovery meetings, some that are specific to different addiction types and experiences of family members. But CatholicInRecovery.com, you'll find our full virtual meeting schedule. We've got meetings every day of the week.
Michael, thanks for your endorsement. And I'm sure that many people will take that to heart and maybe think about doing something like that in their parish. I do know, Scott, and I'm going to go right to calls now. But I mean, even since I was a kid, I've known Catholic parishes that hosted Alcoholics Anonymous meetings. This is not a brand new thing. There's been pastors who knew the value of it.
Yes, it's not a new thing. Probably more Protestant churches that host AA meetings, I would say, than Catholic churches.
Uh-huh.
This maybe is different regionally as well. I don't know, the East Coast, you know, Northeast, a lot of AA meetings held in Catholic churches.
Let's go to, thank you, Michael, again, Lauren in Phoenix, listening on the Catholic Answers app. Lauren, go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Hello. So I hope this is a relevant question. My mom, I don't think she's an alcoholic, but she definitely binge drinks. Like, it's not unusual on a social event for her to have like 6 glasses of wine. And I mean, I'm concerned for her health, but I'm also concerned because she's a very vocal Catholic. Like, she's out there in the world being Catholic, and I just feel like this is gravely scandalous. And I'm wondering, I'm calling because, like, how do I broach the subject, or is it something that is more, like, should I weigh if it's an addiction or not? I'm just looking for advice, I guess.
Okay, Lauren, that seems very relevant to me, but Scott?
Very relevant. And we can hear the sincerity in your voice, Lauren. Thanks for calling. Addiction does not discriminate, whether passionately Catholic or, you know, it doesn't discriminate amongst, you know, ethnic lines, class lines, gender lines, priest, religious, it doesn't matter. And so, yeah, thank you for calling, Lauren. I can hear that you're concerned. I mentioned before many family members and close friends of mine who had shared concerns with me while I was active in my addiction, and I oftentimes would kind of rationalize things, or you know, they would try, and it wasn't until someone could speak to me and saying, "I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again." And so the saying goes, "You can tell an alcoholic, but you can't tell an alcoholic much."
And see, so that's another one of those things.
It is exactly one of those things.
Yeah.
So, you know, I would share how you're, I think that really the truest way to do this is to share how her behavior is affecting you. And, you know, coming from a place of when you drink, this is what the experience is like for me. That's hard to refute. You know, oftentimes people can refute or make rationalizations for their behavior. And, you know, we kind of might have an idea of what an alcoholic looks like. And if I don't fit that description, then, well, I'm not an alcoholic. Or, you know, an alcoholic drinks every day and I only drink 3 days a week. Or, you know, there are a variety of different flavors of alcoholism. Some, you know, everyday drinker like myself, others binge drinkers who can hold on for weeks, go weeks without drinking. But, you know,
but once it touches the lips is like what you're saying.
Absolutely.
Right? Then they're in trouble.
And not only that, but also the mental obsession that accompanies those 2 or 3 weeks before the drink would drive someone mad. You'd almost say, why don't you just have a drink? You know,
yeah,
you'd be better
off. You're
just
driving yourself crazy.
Exactly. I hope that's helpful, Lauren. I know that, so I think that really just speaking to how her behavior, maybe not even just the drinking part, but what are the behaviors that are surrounding the drinking? Is it dishonesty? Is it some kind of, you know, disrespect? I think if you can get more specific about that and speak to, you know, some of the periphery behaviors, you know, alcoholism is oftentimes, and you know, you may not be an alcoholic, but you can speak to how the behavior is affecting you.
Okay, Lauren.
Okay, that is very helpful. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for the call, Lauren. Our number is 888-318-7884. We're talking about addiction and recovery with Scott Wieman. And he's the author of The 12 Steps and the Sacraments, and he's the founder of Catholic in Recovery. We go now to Illinois, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio, Michael in Illinois. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hey, yes. Michael.
Oh, hey. Hey, great. Thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to come and say I've been dabbling with Alcoholics Anonymous for like the past 6 years. And at that point in time, I was a fallen away. I don't know. My mom was more of a Protestant individual. My dad was the Catholic, but he was like a jazz trumpet player. And he had a very sinful lifestyle, and they split up. And as soon as he was out of the house, my mom was like, well, I have no interest in the Catholic faith.
Michael, are you saying that you were dabbling in AA, but you were also in and out of Catholic faith? Is that where you are, Michael?
Yeah, as a child, I grew up in the Catholic faith. And as long as my dad was there,
We went to
Mass every Sunday, and he had us in the CCD classes.
Oh, yeah.
But due to his lifestyle, him being a very active alcoholic, it killed him. He died. He quit drinking cold turkey, and it shocked his body, and he had a heart attack.
Oh.
And it killed him. But it was after many, many years go by, I get to a point where my life was crashing down. It was becoming a train wreck due to my drinking. And when I got into Alcoholics Anonymous, there was that passage in there where it said, well, many of us return to the faith that we had relied on before in the past. And I recalled, you know what, when I was a child going to Mass, my life was good. And I dove off into, I went back to Mass. I took my first fifth step to Father Rick, and I...
Oh, wow.
He got me, he was like, have you been confirmed? It's like, no, Father Rick, I never got that far. All my classes are starting right now. You just missed the first week. But now I've gotten to a point where the AA meetings and what is said at Mass, it goes hand in hand. I really am not able to tell where one begins and one ends. But now my grand sponsor was a philosophy professor for Northern Indiana University, Glenn Chestnut. And he wrote a book called God and Spirituality. Very thick. Collection of various theological writers of some sort, dabbling in various questions such as personal God versus impersonal.
Michael, I want to interrupt you because I really, really do appreciate your beautiful testimony. But I'm coming up very near a break. So do you want Scott to respond to what you were saying about the mass connecting to AA, or did you want to ask him a question?
I just wanted to say, I think this is phenomenal. We had a Protestant group called Celebrate Recovery, and it's for those in the meetings who are like, no, it's not a higher power, it's Jesus.
Ah, okay. And let me get Scott to respond a little bit, Michael. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Michael speaks to the power of the 12 steps and that, you know, how the fourth step, fifth step can bring us back to the sacraments. And thank you, Michael, for sharing your experience, and God bless you in your recovery and your family's experience, both in active addiction and now in recovery. He's also speaking to some of the lack of Catholic acceptance, perhaps, within secular 12-step recovery groups. You know, Celebrate Recovery, like he mentions, they 5 years ago, they boasted that they were in 10,000 churches around the country, now 35,000 churches around the world. And, you know, many Catholics, many former Catholics are going to those groups where they're being fed because, in many instances, the Catholic Church does not have a kind of addiction recovery fellowship where they're basic needs are being met. And so we see, you know, I think that proves, you know, that this model certainly can be effective in bringing people back to the faith and helping those who are active in their Catholic faith, bringing them, you know, through the barrier of addiction that can keep us separated from God and each other.
Michael, very, very helpful. Thank you. I really appreciate that you brought that to our attention. The number here is 888-318-7884. There are lines open, and after this break, we're going to come back and let you talk with Scott Wieman, 888-318-7884. But before I go to the break, Erica, you know Erica, she's the events coordinator here. She grabbed me in the hallway today and said, when you're on the air, you have to tell people that the special room rate for our conference ends on Monday. So if you're coming to the conference and you haven't gotten your room yet, you got to do it before Monday to get that special room rate at the Hyatt. And if you don't know about the Catholic Answers conference, we'd love it if you'd find out and maybe come join us here in San Diego, where we spend 3 days talking about Jesus from an apologetics and evangelization angle. Who Do You Say That I Am is the name of the conference, September 23rd through 26th here in San Diego, Catholic Answers Conference.com.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
He was a Jesuit, a cardinal, and a doctor of the church.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Robert Bellarmine is honored for his immense contributions to theology, including helping to draft two important catechisms that defended church teachings during the Protestant Revolt. Pope Clement VIII named Bellarmine a cardinal because, as the Pope put it, Bellarmine had not his equal for learning.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Jimmy Akin coming up second hour. We'll do open forum with Jimmy Akin to close out the work week here. This hour, we've got our friend Scott Wieman, who we're very, very proud of because of his book, The 12 Steps of the Sacraments, because of his apostolate that he has is growing all around the world, actually, here in the U.S. and in other places now, especially because of the internet access, which is called Catholic and Recovery. Most of all, we're proud of him because he's a finalist in the OSV Challenge, the Our Sunday Visitor Challenge. What's the date?
September 18th.
September 18th. All right. So before the conference, we'll know whether you are. But they should get Donald Trump to do it. Didn't he say you're fired or something? He should have been, you're funded. to the three people who get funded.
Maybe I'll come to the Catholic Answers Conference with just a big bag of cash.
Oh, that's how everybody does it. That's just what you see everywhere, the people carrying these giant bags of cash. 888-318-7884. I'm a little confused on the calls at the moment, so I'm going to just ask Scott a quick question, and then I will come to we'll get the lines straightened out, and then I'll come to the phones. But, you know, considering what that caller just said, what Michael earlier from Alabama said, say I'm a Catholic priest, a pastor, or bishop, And I'm like, you know, I want to get this into my parish or a parish in the diocese, or I want to get, well, how do they go about doing that? Catholic in Recovery.
Yeah, CatholicInRecovery.com. We have a, you know, a meetings tab where you can inquire about starting a group, fill out a form. We'll reach out to you and begin conversation around, you know, what can we do to support? We've got really all the materials and resources and ongoing support to start a Catholic in Recovery group. You know, part of that is leadership. Oftentimes people who reach out to us are not necessarily a priest or a bishop or on staff at a parish, but someone who's in recovery, who sees the value, you know, much like other callers have called in and shared about their, you know, taking the plunge and saying, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can bring this to my parish. I think this can be a really great asset to our community.
Right.
And in my experience in recovery, can help get that started. And so, you know, oftentimes, and really in every community, there are people who are in recovery. And so, you know, then if that's the case and someone's reaching out who has recovery experience, then we go to the pastor or to the church leader and we begin conversations around how can we make this happen in the parish. You know, kind of the reverse would happen if it was a pastor or a bishop that was reaching out looking. We would, you know, put the kind of feelers out for some local leaders, because we don't want just someone who shows up and say, okay, this is what you need to do in order to overcome your addiction. That's, you know, we oftentimes try to initiate change by just throwing a bunch of facts and fear at people. But that's not really how change works, particularly when we're talking about layers of denial that are thick and heavy. Again, the cunning, baffling, and powerful nature of addiction makes change really, really hard. And so we understand kind of the change process through this three-step model, I guess, that a gentleman named Alan Deutschman writes in his book, Change or Die. And that is relate, repeat, reframe. That we relate to someone, we can kind of initiate, relate to someone else's experience, which requires some similarity in experience. Also, then we repeat kind of those new behaviors, that hope-filled, I can do this. I can begin to initiate kind of these simple practices in my life, which will help me overcome the challenge that I'm going through. And then we reframe our understanding of the world and ourselves, and you know, can approach the world with new life. And you know, theologically, we would say that reframing is understanding ourselves as a beloved child of God, with whom He's well pleased.
Again, 888-3187-884, our number. I'm sorry, just a little confused on the phone lines, but I think we have, I'm not sure of this, I might get somebody else, but I think we have Jesse in San Antonio listening on Guadalupe Radio. Do we have Jesse?
Yes, this is Jesse.
Oh, okay, Jesse, great. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
All right. Earlier, you said that the program that you're espousing is not a religion-based 12-step program. It's an adjunct to a 12-step program. And I wanted to hear you elaborate on that a little bit. I've been in a 12-step program for many years, and only in the last 8 years did I really get sober. And what I've noticed from guys who come from religion-based programs is that they want to depend on that their religion will save them from their addiction, and they don't give up their judgment. Well, if you ask me to do this, is this really what my religion teaches me to do? And they'll choose not to do certain things that the program requires for you to unburden yourself of your resentments and all the other stuff.
All right, Jesse, I'm going to let Scott comment just because we're short of time, but I'll come back to you. This is something that's familiar to you? You look like it was very familiar to you.
Yeah, thank you, Jesse. I appreciate that. I think that in Jesse's coming, sounds like a caller who's coming from extensive experience in 12-step recovery groups. And oftentimes, I think, much like you know, a Catholic who is unfamiliar with the 12 steps might think, how does this work? And you know, what more is needed other than my religion and the sacraments? Those who are very whose lives have been saved by 12-step recovery, myself included, might think of Catholic in recovery as being a watered-down version of the 12 steps, and I completely understand that perception and that idea that if we try to, you know, take away any of the really at the heart of the 12 steps, the truth of the 12 steps that requires honesty, openness, and willingness. If we're not completely willing to kind of involve ourselves with that, or if our religious beliefs keep us closed off to maybe actions that are going to help us recover, which wouldn't be contrary to our it wouldn't be sinful in nature, but it might be something that we might just have a closed off idea of. I think that maintaining that openness is really important. And oftentimes when we think of a religious program, whether it's a recovery program or otherwise, we might think of those of kind of a closed nature or maybe not a spirit of open-mindedness that is absolutely necessary for recovery to take place. So I really appreciate it. And Jesse, I think maybe you misunderstood, but we are a religious 12-step program. We're a Catholic 12-step program. And so we make great effort not to water down either the Catholic faith in our pursuit of that, as well as not watering down the 12 steps. But as other callers have mentioned, and Jesse, probably as you see in your act of faith and in your recovery, there are parallels between the 12 steps of addiction recovery and the sacramental life of the church and the wisdom that saints before us have shared. And if we read the catechism, we can see that all really intertwined really nicely.
That all makes sense to you, Jesse?
Well, yes. In fact, I lived 3 years of resentment that time. Baptist faith didn't save me, so I became a non-denominational.
Jesse, we completely have lost you. I'm sorry about that, but it sounds like he said he spent several years with resentment about his. I was going to say I could kind of interpret, but I don't actually think I got enough of it to interpret. But
I hardly did either. But I do. And maybe he said that they're sharing about a resentment towards the church.
Oh, I see.
And that is a real thing. Of course, we can't just stay there. And I think that oftentimes, secular 12-step groups might just be full. Like the only resentment that you're actually allowed to bring into the meeting is a resentment towards the Catholic Church. People will applaud you for that, whereas other resentments are life-threatening. But I think that it's important to have a place where we can share our honest experience with the church, not just to stay there, not just to throw tomatoes at the church, but so that we can honestly just be honest and get over it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, very good. Jesse, I'm sorry that we kind of lost you there at the end, but what a wonderful call. Thank you. Eddie didn't stay on the line, but he wanted to know this. If the Bible says alcoholics won't inherit the kingdom of heaven, why do we have people in recovery say every day, I'm an alcoholic? And that's a reference to the first letter to the Corinthians, I think, where the list of people who won't inherit the kingdom of God includes drunkards.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the act. I don't think that was an identifying people. I think that was an identifying action.
I think it's
drunkenness.
Yeah, right. Somebody who's just reveling in drunkenness all the time. You're not inheriting the kingdom of
God. Absolutely not. But I would also then point to the first beatitude, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And, this is actually kind of funny, and I think speaks to some cultural challenges and really barriers that we work with. Sometimes I'll hear when we're talking to a priest about the idea of bringing a recovery fellowship to their church, well, why would I want a bunch of drunks and drug addicts and, lust addicts coming to my parish?
Really? A priest asks
something
that?
Along those lines. I mean, that may be taking some liberty in adding some color, but basically along those lines of, why do I want those people showing up in my parish? And, hey, I hate to break it to you, but they already are.
I didn't think about that. That's a very good point. I was thinking about the gospel where he didn't come to call the righteous, but sinners. I mean, if you could get a bunch of addicts and alcoholics and lust addicts into your church, you'd be a lot like the people that followed Jesus around.
Yeah, good job.
But yeah, right, like good job. But I didn't think about that. They're already there. Yeah, we're already there. Those of us who are sinful and broken and have all these worldly attachments and obsessions and addictions, we're in the church.
Yeah, and let me speak to the second part of Eddie's note in that why do we have people in recovery every day saying, I'm an alcoholic? This gets back to, I think, maybe our first caller today who said, I'm a grateful alcoholic. And do you know why she's a grateful alcoholic? Because her alcoholism provided this desperate need for God in her life.
Yeah.
Where she can revert back to that on a regular basis, and when she's thinking, I can do it myself, I don't need to pray, or I don't need to do this, or she can say, I don't want to go back there. And that's why we say I'm a grateful alcoholic. It's not too much different than when we begin Mass saying that I'm a sinner.
I got to ask you this question because it just came in. Mary, I'm not going to be able to put you on the air because we're out of time, but she has a deaf son who wants to take part in a 12-step program with an interpreter. Is that okay if you're deaf to use an interpreter, or Do you want maybe to,
yes.
I'll give her an email address and she can contact us?
Or? Yes. Mary, please contact me.
Yeah, we want to help you, Mary, but we just got right to the end.
Scott@CatholicInRecovery.com.
Okay, Scott@CatholicInRecovery.com. We'll put that in our notes page. But also, you can just send an email to radio@Catholic.com if that's easier. And we'll get you in touch with folks who can help your son, because we definitely want to make sure we help. And I'm sorry, but the note came to me just as the music started. Scott Wieman, CatholicInRecovery.com is where you can find him. Scott, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Thank you.
As
always. And congratulations again on Walter, the new baby. All right. We'll see you in 9 months. Jimmy Akin coming up. Open Forum right after this. And Catholic Answers Live.